Welcome to God and Country Radio, a program that looks at current events in the light of Scripture. I'm your Bible teacher, Pastor Brad Winship, pastor of Harbor Bible Church in Lawrence Harbor, New Jersey. On Monday, I went down to the Trenton State House to voice opposition to a bill to legalize marijuana, its use, its sale. Both the Senate Budget Committee and the Assembly Appropriation Committee had a joint committee meeting to allow for public comment and to vote on the measure. Once it's voted out of the committee, it can go to the full legislature for a vote and then on to the governor's desk for a signature. I don't think anyone missed the humor of having a joint committee meeting to discuss the marijuana bill. So, with so many other social issues going on in the news, the marijuana issue has not been on my radar. Last time I did a program about this subject was in January of 2011. At that time, California had just defeated Proposition 19, which would have legalized pot in California. It was defeated 54-46%. And at that time, I mentioned I was alarmed that 46% of the population voted to legalize marijuana. Well, in 2016, it passed. Now pot is legal in California. In the November midterms, Michigan voted in favor of recreational marijuana. Utah and Missouri voted in favor of medical marijuana, which is really the first step in legalizing recreational marijuana. And so today, 31 states allow for medical marijuana. 9 states have legalized recreational marijuana, even though it is against federal law. And it's important to note here that these states all claim to have the moral right to ignore federal law. But no state has been willing to ignore federal law concerning abortion and homosexual marriage. Notice how the bias favors moral depravity. So we see that our country has gone to pot. And many polls show that 2/3 of the American public favor the legalization of marijuana. This is not because most people personally agree with smoking pot, but people have been socially indoctrinated in the libertarian view of government. That good government means letting people do their own thing. That I may be against something personally, but I shouldn't use the government to regulate other people's morals. The old saying is applied, you can't legislate morality. And once that view takes hold, the whole biblical purpose of government is undermined and collapses. Legislators no longer do what God calls government to do, and the nation is firmly on the way to Sodom. This is truly a sign of the time. Back in October, New Jersey state legislators passed a symbolic bill remembering and celebrating the legalization of abortion in America and calling for the rejection of any Supreme Court nominee who would limit abortion rights. So on my way to Trenton, the thought going through my mind was this. These legislators believe it is good and lawful for people to slaughter babies, so of course they're eventually going to legalize marijuana. And not only that, over the next 10 years, expect to see the legalization of prostitution, the legalization of pedophilia, public nudity, legalized cocaine. Since the whole ideological foundation for morals and government is being overturned, replaced, eroded, however you want to describe it, everything will be legalized. Except, of course, Christianity and Christian morals. That will be persecuted because that stands in the way of people's freedom and makes their conscience feel guilty. You know, what we're now seeing is all of the practical application of religious humanism. I mean, this is what happens when a people in principle switch from Jehovah worship to Baal worship. Now, it takes a little while for all the old laws based on Christianity to be replaced with laws based on secular beliefs. People who hold to traditional morals, but without a belief in the system undergirding it, will in time throw off Christian moral law. As I've said many times on this program, the unbelievers are simply waking up and saying, why have we been following all of these laws based upon the law of God in the Bible? Let's legalize homosexuality, same-sex marriage, gambling, drugs, pornography, prostitution. Let's return to Rome. Let's return to Egypt. When I was at the State House, the committee room was packed with visitors wanting to testify for the bill. It looked like the majority of those showing up were in favor of the bill. And in looking around the room, it was obvious that these were biblically illiterate, spiritually lost people. This was the Exodus 14 crowd. Let us return to Egypt. And in none of the testimony was God or his laws mentioned. I mean, we are a people living autonomous from God. And we have come to accept as normal the absence of biblical theology from the public square. But we should never take it for granted. The absence of God is offensive and outrageous. What interested me most in this hearing was the reasons these unbelievers gave for the legalization of pot. All of the arguments were based upon pragmatism, the man-to-man relationship, as long as I don't hurt anyone else, philosophy of law. And the proponents argued that there would be no social harm, only social benefit, the ending of the criminal black market, the ending of the cost of arresting people over marijuana possession. The opposition only argued that there would be social harm. More traffic accidents, more addicts, more young people damaged by the effects of pot. But what was missing in all this was the moral argument, the rightness or wrongness of getting high off of drugs. And that is really the historic foundation for all anti-drug laws. This is really the moral foundation for the war on drugs. Now, of course, there has always been the pragmatic element that there is a heavy social cost if everyone is getting high. But those pragmatic arguments were only convincing if there was already on the back of people's minds a belief that getting high is intrinsically evil, and that society must prevent such evil. Just like we used to believe suicide and euthanasia and prostitution, although private, were intrinsically wrong and must be deemed illegal. What we have lost is this Christian moral belief in sobriety. And that is why marijuana is being legalized. It's not simply because we think we can deal now with the social costs, or that the social cost of criminalization is now greater than the social cost of legalization. At the root is a change of beliefs concerning man's responsibility to be sober before God. And that is what I want you to take away from today's program. That getting high is no longer considered evil, just like pornography is no longer evil, nudity is no longer evil, homosexuality and lesbianism is no longer evil. It all comes down to disbelief in God's definition of sin. Now, in all of this debate in Trenton, this underlying moral issue wasn't even discussed. But that does not mean it was not at the root, because people rarely see or admit the reason for their own choices. And this moral argument could not even be made in today's legal climate, because that is a transcendent religious argument. And our society determined long ago that religious morality should have no place in government. Since there must be a separation of church and state, transcendent morality can never be the basis for any law. The only basis is man-to-man pragmatic results. And as I said, when you remove the underlying morality and you're left only with pragmatism, every vice will eventually be legalized. And this is why conservatives eventually lose every battle, because the foundation for morality has been removed. Even conservatives are no longer arguing on the basis of the transcendent law of God, because they have fallen for this lie of secularism that they must limit themselves to secular pragmatic arguments. But without God, all is lost. Psalm chapter 9, verse 17, the wicked will be returned to Sheol, even all nations who forget God. The discussion at the State House on Monday forgot God. And so the wicked are turned over to the grave of state-sponsored opioids. Now, boiling down, all that was said at this hearing is going to be very difficult in this short program. So here's how I'm going to break it down. First, all of the fallacious arguments by the proponents. Again, what interested me most was seeing how unprincipled people justified their lawlessness. Even how the arguments had the effect of misdirecting the heart of the issue. The proponents were suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. They were muddying the waters by leading legislators toward irrelevant arguments. Second, I would like to discuss the arguments of the opponents, or rather, the arguments that should have been made by the opponents. First, the arguments of the proponents. I expected the money argument to be the main argument, that legalized cannabis would bring millions into the state coffers. But given the finances of the states that have legalized cannabis, that argument could not be made honestly, and the legislators who support the bill knew this. They could not promise great increases in tax revenues. And so throughout the day, legislators said constantly, it isn't about the money. So here are three economic facts. The social costs outstrip any increased revenue. All of the new state oversight, all of the new enforcement is going to eat up tax revenue. Second, there is no extra tax revenue because of the substitution factor. If people aren't buying cannabis, they would be spending their money on things they already purchase, cigarettes, lottery tickets, alcohol, even grocery store items. Cannabis doesn't create more wealth, it just moves money from one pocket into the next. Just in the same way gambling didn't create any wealth in New Jersey. Third, the black market. The evidence coming out of Colorado is that the black market has boomed. Because now that cannabis is legal, why would anyone want to pay $120 an ounce at a state dispensary when they can get it on the streets for $40? One of the more interesting testimonies at Monday's hearing was from a man who calls himself the New Jersey weed man. And he admitted if New Jersey legalizes pot, he will be able to sell more of it on the street. His only complaint was that the big, white, rich cannabis companies get to sell it, not the guys on the street. So whatever tax money will be coming in from cannabis sales will be undermined by the black market. Now, as it stands, the governor wants a 25% tax on the sale of cannabis. The legislature only wants a 12% tax. Maybe because they know that the more they tax, the greater incentive for the black market. Now, just to note, a tax on cigarettes in New Jersey is about 30%. So it seems odd that cigarettes would be taxed higher than marijuana. But it appears as if the proponents of cannabis want low taxes because they want easy access. Now, in addition to the money argument, another main argument for the legalization of marijuana is not what we would expect. It was racism and social justice. The proponents actually tied racism to the criminalization of marijuana. Doing away with laws against marijuana would be doing away with racism. One proponent even stated that the original laws making marijuana illegal back in the 1930s were instituted out of racism. By a racist, Harry Anslinger, head of the Federal Bureau of Narcotics back in the 30s. And one proponent of marijuana claimed that America's illegal drug policy was rooted in white supremacy. The ideology here is that when the Mexicans started bringing pot into the United States, the anti-pot legislation was a ploy to demonize Mexicans. And just like anti-opioid legislation was a ploy against Chinese immigrants. And this is the teaching of critical theory, where in academia, they're teaching everything is about oppressors trying to find ways to control the oppressed. It doesn't even enter their minds that our forefathers outlawed hallucinogenic drugs because they believed in the intrinsic moral evil of getting high. Critical theorists today can't even comprehend that moral motive because they don't believe in moral absolutes. So all moral law for them must be a subconscious desire for power. They don't understand how the Christian culture in America was grieved over these Europeans bringing over bars and nightclubs and alcoholism and drugs. It wasn't about race. It was about the difference between Protestant moral values and the values of less Christian countries. But what's really amazing here is that the philosophy of critical theory has worked its way out of the classroom into the halls of the legislature. This racism argument that was put forth in the hearing continued with the contention that since blacks or minorities are being arrested for drugs more often, then in order for there to be racial parity, pot should be legalized. Because look how many minorities are going to jail or having their records ruined for being caught with pot. Now, most of us think, well, how about not doing something that's illegal, like smoking pot? Well, if you think that way, you're thinking like the old people. The new way of thinking is that the law must be wrong. What was really surprising was the number of black pastors who testified in favor of legalizing marijuana in order to stop the arrests of black men for possession. Their claim was that the arrests were ruining their community. But then on the other hand, a black minister and one of the black legislators in New Jersey, Ronald Rice from Newark, opposed the legalization, saying legalized marijuana will ruin the black community, that the arrests were not the problem. The drug was the problem. So one group saw the arrest as the problem. The other group saw the drug as the problem. And it was very interesting to see how unprincipled people blame the law for their problems, not their behavior. In fact, in a sane world, if your people or your community had more arrests for illegal drug use, that would be a good thing. You would thank the government for holding you to a higher standard. In the words of St. Augustine, clearly it is a happier lot to be a slave of men than of lust. In other words, so what if the government oppresses you in order to keep you from your illicit desires? Again, let me emphasize that what was really behind all of these proponents' arguments is that they really didn't believe getting high on marijuana is evil. They didn't see it as a big deal. They had no conviction over the wrongness of getting stoned or selling drugs, and that's why they believe their community is being persecuted unjustly by the law. One senator even said selling illegal drugs is just a way for some families to make ends meet. So by way of review, the two main arguments from the proponents were the money argument and the racism argument. All the other arguments were simply appeals to lawlessness or a libertarian view of government. We're already doing it, so why not legalize it? We have been ineffective on the war on drugs. People who have been arrested for marijuana have a scarlet letter upon them. We can't arrest our way out of illegal drugs. We have to legalize it to control and regulate it. Why lock up nonviolent criminals? All these complaints could easily be solved by decriminalizing marijuana rather than legalizing it. In other words, lessen the penalty for marijuana possession, make it a fine, and have some sort of expunging of people's record. But the proponents double down on the only solution being full legalization, which showed that their arguments were a pretext for legalization. So to sum up all of these arguments for legalization, again, they are all rooted in a belief that getting high is morally acceptable. If it weren't for that foundational error, none of their arguments would stand. Take, for example, the crime of murder. Imagine if someone were to argue, we have to legalize murder because people are already doing it. We've been ineffective on the war on murder. People have been arrested for murder, have a scarlet letter upon them. We can't arrest our way out of murder. We still have as many murders now as in the past. And it's costing us too much to arrest and incarcerate these people. We have to legalize murder to control it and regulate it. Arresting people for murder will just separate families. And you know, this is the 21st century. It's time to legalize murder. And if we legalize it, we can get rid of the black market for murder, the hitmen. If we legalize murder, we can tax it, and we can make billions in revenue for public schools and for the elderly. You say, well, that would be ridiculous. Well, we say that because at least our society still has a very strong moral conviction against murder. Well, we used to have the same strong moral conviction against personal drug use. That it was a moral evil to hurt yourself, to waste your time, to waste your brain, to make yourself a less productive member of society. The problem here is the dumbing down of morals. And why is that? Because we have become an increasingly ungodly, biblically illiterate society. So the main argument refuting the legalization of cannabis is God's moral prohibition against drunkenness. And drunkenness, as mentioned in the Bible, is not limited to alcohol, but to any substance that causes a person to check out of reality, to be inebriated or intoxicated. Drunkenness never produces anything good. Israel, in her last days, in her apostasy, became a nation of drunkards. And in the book of the Revelation, it speaks about the condition of the world in the final period of the apocalypse. Revelation 9:21, they did not repent of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their immoralities, nor of their theft. And the Greek word here for sorceries is this word pharmakia, from where we get the word pharmacy. Sorcery and drugs were synonymous. And in the ancient world, these were not drugs for healing. These were drugs to get high on. So the Bible is saying that in the last days, the world will not repent of drug use. So we see where the culture is going. But let's remember that drunkenness is a very serious sin. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10, drunkards will not enter the kingdom of heaven. I'm out of time. The additional points I want to share, I'll add them to my YouTube version of the program, God and Country Biblical Exposition. Go to YouTube and check that out. You've been listening to God and Country Radio. The website to listen to this program again or other past programs is godandcountryradio.org. Spell it out, godandcountryradio.org. Thank you for taking the time to make God and Country a part of your discipleship in the Word. Let's close in prayer. Father in heaven, help us to discern the root of sin. Help us to uncover the lies so that people would understand the real issues of life and be convicted of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come, so that they would be led to Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.